Life is so busy. If you blink, you can miss something amazing. It's important to take a moment and enjoy what we have and the people around us. I'm Mo Hagan, Chief Operating Officer for Canfit Pro, and welcome to A Moment with Mo, a podcast where I will welcome some incredible guests to talk fitness and nutrition, mindset and self-empowerment, setting our goals into action, and much, much more. Now let's get chatting. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Dynamo episode of A Moment with Mo, hosted by yours truly, Mo Hagan. I love this opportunity to come together and have these insightful discussions around health, wellness, and personal professional growth. It is the guests that I bring onto the show that really bring a different and dynamic conversation, and I'm really excited about this episode. And you'll find out very soon why. I wanted to start by letting you know that my mission is to be able to use my gift of the voice of the spoken word, I guess you could say, to really influence positive change worldwide. And I've been on a mission my entire life to do just that. However, 10 years ago, I had the opportunity to work with a really phenomenal coach here in Canada, Jerry Viska, best known as the Y Coach. And he really helped me articulate my mission in one statement that allowed me to share with the world what it is that I desire to be as my contribution and the impact that I wish to make on the world. I've been able to find my purpose, my why, more specifically, the purpose that's sort of aligned with your passion that gets you out of bed every day. And I've been able to find, and with that discovery of my why, it's really elevated my confidence to share with the world what it is that I do through storytelling. Exactly that is really what inspires people to take those lived life experiences as lessons to inspire them to take the necessary steps forward. So a why statement, it really just architects that mission. Mine, I exist to move people and businesses forward by positively influencing change in the world so that people and businesses are inspired to take the necessary steps to live their true purpose. Now, in discovering that, I feel that's my responsibility to help others and support others in doing that internal reflection and making sure that their desired purpose in life is aligned with their deep emotional desires to serve. So one of the ways that I find to do that in supporting others is through storytelling, through my podcast here. So my guest today, I'm very excited to bring to the show a woman who I met at Canfit Pro's 2023 Women Who Influence event. And I'd like to welcome Hina Lake to the show.
Hi,
Hina. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I've been waiting to have this conversation with you longer than you know. And let me introduce you to everyone, and then we'll dive into the conversation. And first of all, I'd love to connect the dots on how exactly we met. So first of all, for those who don't know Hina Lake, she is the owner of Empowered Fitness. That is a fitness and coaching company empowering women to lead their best and fittest life. Hina is a body transformation coach, has a Master of Science degree, is a Canfit Pro certified personal trainer specialist and healthy eating and weight loss coach and Strong Formula certified. Hina's coming to us today from Edmonton, Alberta. And to connect the dots, I just wanted, we were sort of reminiscing before the show about the opportunity that we had to meet each other last year. And I was privileged, Hina, to recognize you as a top three finalist for the Sharon Mann Inspiration Award and Scholarship. Mm-hmm. And really, your story really needs to be told beyond Women Who Influence. So that's my way of inviting you here today to have that deeper conversation. So Hina, I you know, it was so great. And I know we'll talk about our mutual friend and industry legend, but really it's when I think of Sharon Mann and I hear your story and the impact, the personal courage that you've had and you have served in your mission to do something that you were told did not exist, wouldn't happen, couldn't happen, or question why are you doing it? And really your ability to take your passion and your purpose and grow your brand and your business. Also the ability you've had to influence others in your very impactful network. And also the impact you've had on your community is all the things that Sharon Mann stood for and exemplified. And I know if she was here today, she would be so proud to know you and to know that you are helping to live out her legacy. So on that note, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Emil. Oh. I am truly touched and I truly see this as an honor. So thank you for the invitation. And I am trying to just be in this moment and feel totally, completely grateful.
Well, my pleasure. And thank you for saying yes and stepping in. It is something that we'll talk about a little bit later, the importance of stepping up and helping to lift others up, whoever that they may be. In this case, we're going to talk about why we should nominate someone for an award like the Sharon Mann Inspiration Award and Scholarship. But before we go there and help others, let's share more about your story. Much of the power to influence comes from your personal story, Hina, and your mm-hmm. lived experiences. And I would love to know, how did your early life experiences shape your aspirations today?
Absolutely. So growing up, I was always a very bookish child. I loved school and studying, but I secretly admired people that were athletic and thought they had some sort of superpower or super genes because they were able to be, you know, fit and athletic and fast. But I very much was just, you know, kept my nose in the books, and I was reinforced that in so many different ways throughout my life. I distinctly remember, for example, in grade six, in gym class, when the whole class is split up into two teams and there's two captains and they pick people from the class, and I was the last one picked. And I thought, darn it, I didn't know I was that bad. I didn't know I was that bad at sports. So it just kind of reinforced that, you know, I meant to just stay in my lane. And I did. And I did what I call what immigrant parents want for their children, and check the boxes in life. You know, I got straight A's, check, you know, go to university, check, get married and have children, check, did all those things. And I did work in healthcare for 18 years and I loved my job. I worked with fabulous people in patient safety and in the policy world in healthcare. But I was so burnt out at one point. I was really burnt out. And that's when I turned to both faith and fitness, and it was a game changer. I got in the best shape of my life. I couldn't believe how great I felt. I had like a pep back in my step, and I literally wanted to scream it from the mountaintops to women around the world, like, hey, mamas out there, you can be fit, you can be active, and still wear all the, you know, incredible hats that you need to wear. And that really did lead me on another trajectory in my life.
Wow. I'd heard your story. I actually was privileged to review your nomination for the award. And yet I learned so much about your story that brought you to where you are today. And it is quite a transformation, which is, I would imagine, part of your mission to serve the world with your why to transform others through everything that you do. You mentioned a pivotal moment in that game in school where you got called over and you were the last chosen. We have something in common, my friend, because that, I think they called it Red Rover. And oh, I yeah. was always called last. Red Rover, Red Rover, I call Mo over. Right. And you'd have to run, right? I was last too. And then I kept showing up every day at recess because I thought, I am not going to be last today. But you know, it's always powerful when you meet people and you know that you have a connection, and then you realize through the power of storytelling, your connection is even deeper. And what I really admire is how that, you know, you check the boxes, but there was something more that you were meant to do to serve your gift in the world. So thank you for sharing that. I am going to ask though, can you recall a specific moment where perhaps it was faith that sparked your desire to embark upon fitness for yourself? Was there a moment like that, or was it a journey?
Yeah, a bit of both for sure, but I can definitely think of one moment in particular. I grew up in Northern Alberta in Fort McMurray, and my parents were hardworking immigrant parents. They would be off to work in the morning. So my sisters and I, we would get ourselves ready in the morning. And I remember turning on the TV and finding this lady who was enthusiastic doing a workout. And so I thought, well, this I can do. So I, next to my parents' waterbed, I would put on the TV and I would start doing the workout, you know, before 8 a.m., before we would walk to school. And I felt great. I did it for about a week. And I remember thinking, like, I'm going to go tell my friends and say, like, look at me and, you know, come join me and try it. So I remember I walked to school and during recess, I told a friend, hey, you know, I'm doing this really cool workout in the morning and you should try it. And she kind of looked at me and said, well, why would you bother? You're brown. You'll never have abs. And I remember just going completely deflated. And I thought that just went into my subconscious, like, because of who you are, you're not meant to be fit. You're not meant to live a certain way. You need to stay in your lane. And so I did. I really did. And it reinforced things in my mind that I saw. Like, for example, there wasn't very many people in my extended family that were fit or active. I didn't see anyone that looked like me on TV or in the movies that was portrayed in a physical active way. You know, we were portrayed as, say, the engineer or the doctor or the lawyer. Sure, you can be that, but physically fit and active, no, that's not in your wheelhouse. So that really did go into my subconscious until later on in my life, when I did get in shape, and I just realized, like, no, fitness is for everybody. Fitness is something that may look different on everyone, but every single man, woman, child needs to be active. And I want to fast forward really quickly, Mo, and mention when we were at the Women Who Influence event and we were watching the nominations for the finalists and the award, and there was images of Sharon Mann popping up. I haven't told you this yet. But I had a flashback. I am quite certain that the video I watched as a little girl in the 80s in Northern Alberta, small town, I'm certain that that was Sharon Mann on the video.
I was going to ask you what show you watched, because Sharon Mann had her own show.
Yeah. So I sat there and I thought, how amazing is life? Sharon Mann inspired this young little girl with no athletic ability to get up and move in the morning. And there was a pivotal moment in my life that happened thereafter. And it stuck in my mind, even into my 40s, that then led me onto a career path where I completely changed from my healthcare world into coaching other women to live a healthy and fit life. And it was an incredible moment. Incredible.
Wow. I have to have a moment there, because
truly, it was a full circle moment. And it's just, it makes you see, you never know who you're going to touch, whose heart you're going to touch, mind, heart, and soul. So yeah, I'm extremely grateful for Sharon Mann and the legacy she's left behind.
Oh, that is just incredible. And there it is, the legacy. There's the proof, everyone, right there. And the fact that you got connected to Women Who Influence through that award, for the opportunity to, you know, share your journey. And I'm sure, as you'll share, how that experience and your path in the fitness industry, even in the last 10 months, has probably even transformed to the next level. So thank you for sharing that. When you said you watched the show on TV, Sharon did the early morning show through CTV, City TV, then again out in the West in BC. So I am certain that one of her shows was what you were watching. And that is one of her many claims to fame. And she motivated everyone to move just from her radiating smile that we always say just lights up the room. and lights up everyone's heart when she walks in that room. And now with her spirit that we get to continue to shine in her memory. Wow. I don't even know where to go next, because that was just like a mic drop aha moment.
Really.
Well, I did start off by talking about being on a mission and serving your purpose in the world. So let me ask you this. You know, I know through your story and what I'm learning about you that you've been on a mission to help specifically South Asian women live an active life. And as you being their role model, and you do it through your empowered fitness coaching business. And you are really changing the narrative from, oh, you're a brown woman, you can't have flat abs, or you can't define your body, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You've really been evolving or changing the narrative in your community around that. And that community, while it is a unique community from the physiology of your culture, but it's not the narrative uncommon to all about being fit, having an active lifestyle, achieving all you desire. You know, in your story, you talk about it starts with filling up your own cup. Mm-hmm. Can you expand on this?
Absolutely. So I feel like, and this is probably across cultures, that women often, we're often the martyrs of the home, right? We sacrifice our mind, our body, our spirit for other people. I mean, you can even look at pregnancy. I've had three pregnancies myself. I've suffered two losses or two miscarriages. So we do sacrifice our body for other people, our loved ones. And we do that at our own expense sometimes, at our, you know, at the expense of our health. So I am really trying to change that narrative that it's okay to fill up your cup first. You can't pour from an empty cup. We know that. And it's okay to take out that time so that you feel good, you have the energy, you're keeping yourself healthy, and then able to serve others. So filling up your cup, it's not selfish, it's necessary. It's something that I think every single woman needs to do. And it is a narrative change for sure. Like, we need to stop being just the martyrs for everyone else and not have time for ourselves. So even if it's 20 minutes a day, just carving out that time to fill up your own cup. And for people, it could be different things. For me personally, it is fitness and exercise, whether it's like journaling or writing or reading a book or meditating or prayer. You need that that time to focus in on yourself and take care of yourself for sure.
I totally agree with you. I heard it coined, you know, taking time to fill up your own cup. It's not first. Is not selfish. It's self-care. I've heard it coined that. And it's kind of like the analogy on the plane where, you know, the safety video says, put on your own oxygen mask first, then you can help others. So it's the same, you know, analogy, and it makes total sense when you think of it that way, but why not in our daily as well? And you're absolutely right. It's not how much time you invest. It's the fact that you invest that time to fill up your cup, because those actions repeated over time create habits, and those habits evolve into a lifestyle that is one of self-care, self-development, self-empowerment. And that's how then we can truly, you know, serve our purpose and continue to be on our mission, and not to experience the burnout that many of us experience at times, and will deny, not only being martyr, but in denial of the fact that you're not Wonder Woman every single day or Superman. But I love how you shared that, and you really emphasized doing it first. And I hadn't heard it coined before, being the martyr in your home. That's really real. It's real.
Yeah, you know, and because I've seen it so many times again and again, and now speaking with friends as well, like, it's particularly their mother that would just bend over backwards, right, for their children, the home, and, you know, their loved ones, and their health would suffer. Like, you know, for example, they would do an amazing, incredible dinner for loved ones, and then they're in bed for 2 days because their back is sore. Mm-hmm. So, and I hear it time and time again. And, you know, I saw it with my own mother, who's a brilliant woman, hardworking, and she shows her love and sacrifice through her actions. So she's always, you know, giving and doing. But there's a cost to it, right? So mm-hmm. I feel like if we just carve out that time for ourselves, we're then able to feel good and show up and serve in a way that is fulfilling to ourselves and others as well.
Brilliant. So what does this all mean for the South Asian who wants to be fit? And perhaps you could touch on the uniquenesses of health and risk factors to the South Asian culture.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot to unpack. So I think, and we'll get into this. So the three biggest things is for South Asians, exercise is a non-negotiable because of our risk factors for certain diseases and illness. And I know we'll get into that. So exercise, non-negotiable, and we can talk about why in more detail. We really need to focus in on our nutrition for many different reasons, but particularly as South Asians. And third key message is start today. Yesterday was the best time. If you didn't do it yesterday, then start today. Focusing on your health, dialing in on your nutrition as well.
Mm. And why? So tell us more about this. Why is it so important? What are the challenges a South Asian faces, and how can fitness really transform health, not only physique?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's dive into that. There's a lot to talk about, and I get super excited and passionate about it. So South Asians, even what does that mean? So yeah. South Asians is a very diverse group of people. It's people generally from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Bhutan, Maldives, and then Nepal. So very diverse group, speak many different languages. We wear different clothing, different traditions, different foods. But we do have a unique body composition, lifestyle as well, and very unique risk factors for disease. So let's talk about body composition first. So as South Asians, we tend to have low lean muscle mass. Mm. So we have less muscle mass to begin with than the general population. In addition to that, where we carry our fat on our body is different compared to the general population. As South Asians, we tend to carry fat in our muscles, our abdomen, and our liver, which is known as visceral fat. And visceral fat is more dangerous than subcutaneous fat, which is just below the skin. Now, because of how we carry our fat, we're more prone to three things, diabetes, heart disease, and obesity. So because we have that low lean muscle mass relative to our height, we're more susceptible to type 2 diabetes. And according to Stanford Health, South Asians are 6 times more likely to have diabetes, type 2 diabetes, than the general population.
Wow. We're also,
these are alarming rates. And this is something that most people don't know. And I really want to share this broadly so that people know you have these risk factors just on the basis of your ethnicity. So for example, I was not born in Pakistan. I was born here in Canada, but I still would have some of these risk factors because of my ancestry.
Hmm.
So we're 4 times more likely to have heart disease as well. And this is truly, truly alarming, is that we're more likely to get heart disease 10 years earlier than the general population.
Holy moly. Wow.
Yeah. And then so some Canadian data. As South Asians, we actually have the highest prevalence of cardiovascular disease across the country. So we now have all of this research pointing to one thing. The reasons for all of this, of course, like why is our body adapted to certain ways? That could be for another podcast, but we're actually starvation adapted because our ancestors survived many famines decades ago. That could be another whole series of podcasts. So our body composition is unique. We have unique risk factors for disease. And then one more layer is our lifestyle. And this is recent data out of the Canadian Medical Association Journal, the CMHA, for some Canadian data. We are one of the most sedentary populations in the country.
Mm.
And we consume some of the highest amounts of carbohydrates, which means we're not eating in a very balanced way. So if you take all of these factors and look at the picture of body composition, our risk factors for disease and illness, and our lifestyle, It means we really need to focus on physical activity and nutrition. It also means, as a South Asian, you have risk factors you cannot control, which is your ancestry. You can control your diet, you control whether you smoke or not, but we can't control our ancestry. So all the more reason to be physically active.
Wow. If that's not motivation to move, what is? And without the knowledge and the work that you do, I'm certain there will be a lot of people that don't even know the risk factors. They just, their health is not as great as others. And they just think, well, that's life. But oh my gosh. Oh, wow. I think of the work that you do and just the compound effect. My gosh.
And it's interesting you say that, because growing up, we would just hear these things and you would assume that that's just the way it is. Like I would hear about a sugar problem, which really was people that were pre-diabetic and were struggling with their sugar levels. And oftentimes we grew up and we regularly heard about our parents, their friends and loved ones that suffered a heart attack at a very young age, you know, in their 30s and their 40s. And so now I understand why. Now the data is pointing to why and the research is showing why. And it's a fascinating time, right? Where fitness and research and ethnicity is intersecting. And how amazing is that, that we now have this knowledge?
Incredible. I think about as I grew up, when I wanted to give advice to my friends and family, who often would say, well, you know, I'm overweight because, and I can't exercise because, and, you know, it was a luxury and I don't have time. You try to give advice when you're empowered with this knowledge that we learn in school and through our own passion to learn just how we can change our risk factors or influence our risk factors. Those things that we can't control, we can still influence to minimize. But yet it's really hard sometimes to give advice when people aren't ready to receive it. How have you faced those roadblocks or obstacles? And if so, as you were beginning your career as a transformational coach, how did you help wake up people to the fact that you were equipped with tools that could help them literally influence their life and lifestyle?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I led by example. So I focused on myself first, getting in shape. I did the 9-to-5 grind for 18 years, you know, with a very busy household. And so I did home-based workouts. That's what worked for me. That was my lifestyle. And it really did work. It worked for my current life situation. And, you know, friends and family did see me showing up day in and day out and exercising. And then I think they started to pay attention and see, like, okay, if Hina can do it, you know, why can't I? So I think, you know, you have to sort of practice what you preach. And I'm grateful now that there's now more and more women that are realizing, you know, the importance of being physically active and working on their physicality and building muscle mass. So I think leading by example really does help. I think being with like-minded people, you know, that inspire you and kind of show you the way and are steps ahead of you to kind of open your mind to what is possible truly helps as well. And I think, you know, some people perhaps aren't ready for the message. And that's what I've realized too. Like, some people need to sit with where they're at and just be okay with it for a little while until they themselves be like, I'm ready for change. Because I know from my own life experience, like, pain sometimes can be the biggest motivator for change. So it's almost like when you feel like you've had enough and you're like, okay, now I need to do something different because status quo isn't working. That's when the magic starts to happen and they're ready to take that big investment into working on themselves for sure.
Oh yeah. So true. And the power, the message here, everyone, is that keep leading by example, keep passionately sharing your message, keep putting out the offers to work with you, to help you. And when they say, right, when the student is ready, the teacher appears, or maybe when the teacher is ready, I think it's more the other way around. But I do believe that when they're ready, because they've hit that point where there's more pain than pleasure, they remember, well, Hina is doing this, I'm going to work with her now. So never forget that your mission is going to touch someone when they're ready, and you just never know who will call you tomorrow and seek your help. So I'm sure you've had that very rewarding journey, but I'm sure there's been times along the way where you just want to shake people and say, I know how to help, but they're not quite ready yet. So fair enough. And thank you for sharing that reality. You talk about fitness as being your go-to and how it helps fill your cup. If there was something you'd layer on top of fitness for you, as we talked about that earlier, I'd first love to know what would be the second thing that would help fill your cup.
Might fill up my own cup?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. It's really funny because my sisters know, like, that I definitely need to fill up my cup in the morning. Otherwise, I'm a totally, totally different person. So for me, filling up my cup is a few things. So exercise is non-negotiable. I exercise four to five times a week. I try to get in my walks as well, at least 2 to 3 times a week. I very much at this point in my life, I'm in my 40s, I need my quiet time. Mm. I know we're going to talk about a little bit about self-care, but to me, that is my time to kind of recenter and really check in with myself. So in my household, we talk a lot about legacy and the path we want to leave behind us. So I regularly check in to see, am I aligned with my true value and purpose? Am I showing up the way I want to show up in this world for my children, my family, my loved ones, my neighbor next door? That time to me is really, really important because for quite a while I was running on burnt out, and you can be in burnt out zone for a while, but it's not sustainable and I don't want to go back to that. So I need that quiet time to really check in with myself. And I would love to say I do that daily. I'd really try to, but of course it doesn't always happen. But it is something that keeps me really focused and I would say grounded. And it really helps me to cancel out all the noise that is out there.
Mm. Wow. Well, that's a great segue to my next question. What advice would you give your younger self when it comes to self-care, self-development, and or self-empowerment?
Yeah, great question. So for self-care, I feel like, you know, people generally talk about self-care about like going for a massage or getting your nails done. And I think those are all important too. But I really want women in particular to use that self-care time to get to know themselves, really mm-hmm. care about yourself. Check in on your values. You know, what do you want to accomplish in life? Write it down if you can. You know, have a quiet moment. Could be at home or at the park. But really take that time to get to know who are you? What do you stand for? What are your values? What do you want to accomplish? And then that way you can go out and do it. Like go out and be with people who have done the things you want to do, and be in their space. Ask them questions. Like they're often the most, you know, say successful, accomplished people are the most giving because they look for keen people and want to help them. They're just helpful people. And so I would definitely tell my younger self that, like, don't be afraid to knock on someone's door and say, hey, I admire, respect you, and I want to do what you're doing. And can you show me the way? And I guarantee you they will definitely will. Self-development, be a student. I'm a lifelong learner. I think it's really important to continue to grow and be in new spaces, you know, attend the course, go to the conference, you know, travel, open your eyes, be in new environments, because that way you're learning, you're growing, and you're transforming. And I think it's a beautiful thing when people become better and better versions of themselves. So if you're status quo, you're kind of stuck, right? But if you're self-developing and growing and learning and transforming, you know, I think of the transformation of a butterfly, you know, you're spreading your wings and new and exciting opportunities will come your way.
That's a beautiful, beautiful analogy of the caterpillar to butterfly. Yeah. Did you want to add something to that?
And I was just going to add around self-empowerment because that's the name of my my coaching company. So I love the word empowered, because I truly feel like fitness is a vehicle to feel and be empowered. So empowered means like having the power and the authority to make decisions in your life and having control in your life. And I really want that for every woman to feel that way, that they have the power, control, and the authority in their life. And fitness is a vehicle to do that. So you feel the confidence, you feel the energy. And with empowerment, you have the tools and resources to live the life that you want to live. And I always say, like, empowered women will empower others.
Wow. Empowered women will empower others. Well, that is very true when you think about it, because when you have power, you have the ability to serve others. You also have the responsibility. But I love what you said about, you know, successful, you know, highly successful women and men who, however you identify, they come to a point in their life, especially they feel it is not only their gift, but their responsibility to help pave the path forward for others. And I, you know, when we talk about what advice we give to our younger self, you made me think, you know, I'm going to meet Mo at some point. I better get to know her sooner in life than later, because I can enjoy more of what Mo can, you know, best do if I know who Mo is. And mm-hmm. I will confess, Hina, I spent decades being always on the move, trying to accomplish more, that there were times where I'd look back and go, what did I do last year? And I could not even remember, except that I was busy. Mm-hmm. And that because I didn't take that self-care time to have quiet time, to reflect on my values, align them with my goals, and align my actions with my desires. And sometimes we can get out of sorts with that as well. And so I think, you know, your advice and what I said off the top of the show about explore, whether it's working with a great coach like Hina or a coach that will help you architect your why. As Jerry always says, why stands for world, helped by you. Take that time, invest in you. You mentioned that, you know, take care of yourself, fill your own cup. These are all really great strategies and life lessons, and great advice to share with others. And I love asking the question, because everyone has similar but unique piece of advice to give. And I love your definition of empower. You've got not only the name of your business, but I think a podcast or a book coming your way, just saying. Anyways, on that note, Hina, how can folks find out more about you, learn about your business, your services? Tell us how people can best connect.
Absolutely. We'd love to connect with anyone interested. You can find me on Instagram, Hina_empoweredfitness. You can visit me online, empoweredfit.ca. I also have a online community. You're welcome. Anyone is welcome to join us. It's on Facebook, our Empowered Fitness Facebook group. And we talk about things related to fitness, nutrition, which, you know, sunscreen you're using, all of those fun things. So I welcome everyone to come join if you're interested in living a more active and fulfilling life and being around like-minded women. You can find me there. And we are doing some really cool things. I'm now coaching women to do a professional fitness photo shoot. So we have one lined up in Toronto in August and another one. Yeah, I know. With a professional photographer, you get your hair done, your makeup done. It's a whole vibe. And we celebrate you. So it's not for a wedding or for getting a cute butt. It's for celebrating you as a full and complete woman. So we're doing August 9th in Toronto and October 1st in Edmonton, Alberta. So would love for you to join us.
Wow. And it just so happens to coincide with this little global conference called Chemfit Pro Global on August 9th and 10th. Yes. So everyone, if you're in Toronto working with Hina and having your branded photo shoot of you, and I was talking about this last night, you will want to have a professional photo of yourself to remind yourself every day when you get up and look at you and who you are. It gives you that juice, that boost of confidence to to get out in the world and serve your purpose every day. I encourage, if you've never done it, connect with Hina about your opportunity there. I've done a couple of these professional photo shoots and they're humbling. They do help you spread your butterfly wings and grow emotionally. And it's humbling when you do it, especially if you've not done a photo shoot before, but it's so liberating and it lasts a lifetime and it will remind you and reinforce who you are, which again, back to your, how do you give advice to your younger self? It's find yourself and don't be afraid to show yourself off to your network, to the world. So, and you can also pop into CanFit Pro and check out the trade show. You can find out more at the end when I tell you about that. Wow, that's so great, Hina. Congratulations on that. That's a big step, big investment in sort of transformation of your business and coaching program. Before we close, I would love to ask you, as a top three finalist for the Sharon Mann Award and scholarship, why we as leaders in the fitness industry, specifically women, should we nominate a woman leader for this award and scholarship, or encourage a fellow female leader in the fitness industry to self-nominate? Tell us why, because this is going to be powerful advice, everyone. Because some of you are probably thinking, well, I've been thinking about applying for this or nominating a friend. Why should you take action on this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think every woman has a story of resilience and perseverance. You know, whether it's your own body transformation or coaching others or getting out of a bad situation and taking care of yourself. And I think, you know, we're in a day and stage where there is a lot of, say, oversharing that happens, say, on social media. But people really want to connect and people do really want to hear your personal story and connect with your personal story. I think that everyone wants to know, like, do you see me? Do you hear me? Am I valued? Am I mattered? Mm-hmm. So you never know whose story, whose life you're going to touch. And it could be one person, it could be 10, it could be thousands. So I would really encourage anyone who's considering, go ahead and put in the application. I didn't think I would, you know, make it to the top three finalists. I remember submitting my application late at night when my kids were in bed and I had put in my 9-to-5 shift. But something made me do it. And I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad it went forward because you get to meet incredible women. You get to go to a lovely event. And then opportunities just open up from there because you are with the authenticity of wanting to connect and share your story. I really would encourage people to apply and it's amazing what will come from it.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. And I can say having been involved in award nominations for well over a decade, there are many of you out there that are thinking about it, but you feel for one reason or another that you're not deserving, you haven't accomplished enough. It's nothing to do with that. It's what exactly you said, Hina. It's about your story needs to be shared with the world. And this is a platform or a vehicle to allow you to, you know, come into a bigger circle than your own to put your story out in the world. And it's when you give power to your story through sharing it, that it gives you power to continue to do what you do. It's a really empowering experience, even if it's, and would you feel free to comment? I was going to ask you if you would agree, but feel free to not agree. But even the exercise of putting in a nomination or nominating someone else and going through the process of answering the four questions, what was the experience? Like, did you find just the exercise itself was empowering?
Absolutely, because it makes you quite literally sit down and think, right? Put pen to paper and think about your journey and, you know, your mission. And, you know, is it in fact connecting and building community and honoring people through physical fitness? And writing it down, it may even like re-spark your energy and interest in it, right? Because you feel like sometimes we get, you know, down in the trenches of the to-do list and, you know, getting things out the door. And we kind of forget about the bigger picture and our true purpose of changing and transforming lives. So I think, you know, writing down in an application exactly what your intent is, what is, you know, your mission, your vision behind your business and your journey. It's again, quite centering to do that. And it makes things feel all the more meaningful. And I'm all about that of, you know, adding more meaning and value into everything that we do.
Oh, perfect. Amazing. Well, thank you, Hina. And for those that are interested in learning how to either submit a nomination for yourself or nominating a female in the fitness industry that you are, you know, looking to for that path to find for your own journey, please go to chemfitpro.com, scroll down to the very bottom, the blue bar where you'll see awards, and you will locate in the menu bar the Sharon Mann Inspiration Award and Scholarship nomination. And nominations are open until the end of May. So get on it. And in doing so, again, even if you apply and it takes you as far as it's meant to this year, the journey, the exercise of doing so will be, just as you said, Hina, rewarding and inspirational on its own. And this year, I want to let everyone know that we will be celebrating women in the fitness industry at a different type of event this year for Women Who Influence. It'll be a tribute to women in who lead and influence. It'll be a session within the ChemFit Pro Global Conference on Saturday, August the 10th. You can find out more about this session and all of the sessions, which are part of the 31st annual ChemFit Pro Global event, at, again, www.chemfitpro.com. And you can /to events, and you'll easily find more information and the entire schedule at a glance. As we close, I just want to also share that if you have heard something here today that sparks your interest, of course, you can reach out to Hina and or myself. And if you are looking sort of to start your commitment to self-care in finding out what it is that you need for self-care, self-development, self-empowerment, and you haven't yet downloaded my 2024 guide to moving your self-care, your self-development, or and self-empowerment forward to create the everlasting change you desire, then go to my website, mohagan.com, download it today. It's absolutely free. And until next time, I always end by saying, keep on moving. And perhaps moving forward today looks like this. You will share this information with your friends or your network by sharing this podcast or any of the episodes in the A Moment with Mo series. Bye from now. And thank you, Hina. You are absolute delight. And I truly feel that I won the lottery today, having the opportunity to speak with you.
Thank you so much. Honored to be here.